Welcome to Valley Roundup. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen. Today I'm joined in the studio with Amanda Ray, columnist for the Aspen Times Weekly, and her editor, Jeannie McGovern. Also with us is Aspen Daily News columnist Beth Brandon and her editor, Madeline Osberger. We are talking about women's role in the media and how it can empower others. In the case of Beth and Amanda, both are victims of abuse. But as we have learned by reading their newspaper columns over the years, they are much more than that. Last month, both women took brave and bold steps by sharing with the public their experiences and how they healed from such a horrific time in their lives. Beth and Amanda's decision to go public was made separately, but are here together on Valley Roundup. Welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So, Amanda and Beth, you both wrote columns, but you took different approaches. Amanda, you related your healing process to food, and Beth, yours seemed to be more about physical activity. So, can you guys both just speak to that and what your thought process was going into that?
I know for me, and I know because I know Amanda, that it's like we have different time spans between event and writing. So I've had over 15 years to process and live and do and be. So I think that I relate to all the activities that I do and living here and sort of kind of charging in life, if you will, to just surviving and not being afraid to try some things. So a lot of that does relate to physical activity, I guess.
And for me, not much time had really passed between when all of this happened and when I wrote about it. I didn't really think it through. I sort of made an impulsive decision to just go ahead and write about it. You know, I had a column that was due. I needed something to write about. I'd been dealing with this for almost the past year of my life, and I was just exhausted and kind of fed up. So I just went ahead and wrote it, and looking back, if I had more time to really think about it, I don't know if I would have necessarily gone through with it.
And I kind of feel like, again, our experiences are different but similar. So what I would say to that is so many times in the last, you know, so many 15 plus years in the times that I've had a column deadline due, I have used April as this invisible deadline, like, oh, I could always write about it in April because it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I want to do something, you know? And then if you think about it a lot, then you can talk yourself right out of it. Oh, I'm putting myself out there. Oh, people are going to, you know, the imagination runs wild. Mm-hmm. And another topic comes up, and you turn that in. Amanda was actually my inspiration to write this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So yours came out on April 21st, and a week later, I was like, is that a coincidence or not?
Well, I read it, and I was like, you know what? I didn't know everything, but I knew she was much closer to the event. And I was like, if not now, when? So I just sat down and wrote a rough draft, and then I actually went on a river trip thinking, I can use a river trip as column fodder.
Right.
And then I came back and it wouldn't leave my brain and it was already pretty well written. And I thought, you know, I just need to put it out there because I finally found a perspective that I thought worked and I didn't have to, I just went into like all the post stuff.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Well, I also wanted to say that another reason why I did decide to write this was I felt like it would help me get over the incident and the trauma, and it would be a way for me to heal. And once I wrote the column, then it was out there and I could, you know, let it go and move on with my life. That's really all I've wanted to do, is just move on with my life, and this has been a really helpful part of that.
I wanted to ask you how you all, both of you, felt writing it, and then once it was done, how you felt, and then once it was published, and if there was any, differences in your feelings.
Well, I think when I was writing it, a lot of the emotions that I had felt during the experience resurfaced. So, as you might have noticed in the piece, some of my anger really came out. And
those were my favorite parts.
And I think that's what I meant by saying that, you know, maybe I would have thought through it longer. I would have changed some of that. I feel like there were a couple digs that I threw in there because I was so angry. But after the piece was published and it had kind of left, you know, my ownership in a way, it was a bit liberating, I guess. And then when the piece was published, I did receive a lot of feedback, more feedback than anything really I've ever written. And so that was really comforting, because a lot of people, a lot of women especially, mm-hmm. women that I have known for a while, came out of the woodwork mm-hmm. to share their own stories. And it was an aha moment in a way, because a lot of other people had been through this.
Absolutely.
And you just don't see it.
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it. So that was really comforting and reassuring in a way.
Did you, Beth, the same thing? I mean, when your column said, you know, I'm trying to empower
mm-hmm.
people. And obviously that's what happened with Amanda's column. Did you have the same experience?
Yeah, and like I said, I'm so much further along as far as like digesting the whole process and what it's meant in my entire life at this point. But when I wrote it, I could not stop crying buckets. Mostly, and it was like buckets of tears, because I felt like proud that I was finally saying it and sharing it, something that I've wanted to say to empower women, people, and just educate in general for so long. And so it was really tough to edit. I actually sent it to a friend because she knew about the story, about me, all of that. And I was like, I can't get through this without crying. So if you could just give me a second set of eyes, you know, knowing that she's close to me, that helped. But it was mostly pride that I felt in getting it out, like in the writing process and turning it in. You know, I was different, I think, in consulting my editors. I just
yes,
sent it in and
you
was
were.
Like,
it was a little, yeah. like, doo-doo-doo, going to work on Wednesday. I'm going to look at what the columns are. And, you know, the same thing I have to tell you that Gus or Wendell also
sure.
did the same thing to me, dropped a bomb, because you guys rotate weeks on columns. It's like, oh, well, you're coming out. That's fantastic. But
he was also
little
an
warning.
Inspiration.
Yes, he was. His was taken back. I mean, yours, Beth, I was speechless. I had tears on my own sitting in the office. I thought, I was so proud of you. And even though I don't know you, I'm like, to take that. Because I've written a column in the past, and I know how personal it is. And it's very difficult, because people in the public, then they think they know you
oh, yeah.
and who you are. And they see you in oh, I know all about this person because I read their weekly or every other week column. And it's like, no, you really don't. So to put it out on the line, bravo. Amanda, you get the award for the best lead. Again, that knocked me over. It's like, I even wrote it down. When a toxic, abusive relationship boils over, there's no saving the soup. I mean, who wouldn't want to read Del Rey?
Yeah. How long did it take you to write that?
You know, actually, this column was, believe it or not, one of the easiest columns mm-hmm. that I've had to write, just because writing from experience is always easy, no matter what the topic. But this one, I felt, was so necessary for me to just get it out in a way that it really just flowed. And then
well, since you have a food column,
right,
this, so you obviously put some thought into how I was going to bring this back around.
Right. Well, I had been reading up on pineapple, actually, and how pineapple was helpful in bruising. You know, as you read in the piece, I had bruises all over my body, and it was pretty shocking. And I had gone down to Florida to see my grandmother for her 95th birthday to surprise her, and my mother was down there, and so I'm trying to cover up, and you know, I didn't want to upset them. And so when I returned, my main focus was, how can I make myself look better so that I don't, you know, look like this battered woman, really. And so I started researching and read about the pineapple, and then I started reading about other foods that were beneficial to healing. And then I thought about emotional healing and just comforting foods. And then the whole idea just snowballed from there. And then once I started researching, and it really all came together. And I love to cook, so these were all things that, you know, I had been doing, but I was able to direct the focus towards, you know, this other issue, which
right.
I feel like is important to
Absolutely.
Talk about.
Absolutely.
That was what I thought it made it so real, was when I read about the pineapple and the other foods that can, you know, help with the bruising. I was like, wow, this is really real. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dealing with the physical remnants of this.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie, did you consult at all with her when you got that column? Not, how did that work out for you?
Similar to Madeline, you know, it just was turned in, as always, with the email that said, this sounds cliche, but it was so cathartic or something like that to write this article. And I remember thinking, I wonder what she wrote about. Just thinking it was going to be, I don't know, nothing like this. So when I opened the file and started reading, my reaction was much the same as Madeline's was with Beth's column. I mean, I kind of choked up. I kind of teared up. I was scared for my friend as well as my colleague. And then as I got to the bottom of the column and finished it, I was so proud and amazed and in awe of Amanda's ability to put that out there. As a friend, I had a sneaking suspicion something wasn't quite right in her life, and that happens to all of us, but I had no idea of the severity. And of course, it made me think, how many other women do I know who are having things like this go on in their lives? And we just think, wow, something's up with her. So I think that's where, you know, my awe and proud. So, of course, then I called Amanda and cried and told her all of this. And then I guess my fear was that you were going to pull it back and you were going to decide not to publish it. Mm-hmm. And so we did go back and forth a little bit with some revisions. And I think it became a stronger column as you did take out some of the anger that was in the original version and some of the emotional base, I think.
Right.
But I think what you ended up writing and we published was in no way, you know, angry or coming from that space. I thought it was really empowering.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And, you know, another reason why I wanted to write this or why I went through with publishing it, I felt like I had a lot of explaining to do to, you know, professional contacts, to my friends, to kind of explain my behavior and why I had been so weird and not myself for the past year. And this was a way for me to, in a way, set the record straight. You know, like this, that was not me. That's not my work ethic or my style. But, you know, I've been just been going through a really tough time and this is why.
It came off to me as it was something that you needed to do. And when But you found the resources in talking to Dr. Lankreen about the fact that foods can heal.
Well, the Dr. Lankreen, when I spoke with him, that was actually some information that he had given me. He didn't know at that time that I had spoken with him that this was the article that I was going to write. But I did seek help from Jill at Response, and she was instrumental in holding my hand and helping me through this and showing me what I needed to do. I mean, she went with me to my court date. She told me what I needed to do to prepare my case, all these little things that I didn't think about. And I've always been the kind of person to feel like, oh, I can handle anything. I'm strong enough. I don't need anybody's help. But, you know, to anyone out there who's going through something like this, you really do need someone's help, and just take the help and get the help, because you can't do everything yourself. And
no, what's wrong with help? We all got a little help. Wouldn't we be all happier, more functioning people?
Right. Did you consult at all with Jill from Response?
I didn't tell her that I was planning on writing the column, but I had already started that process. I called her after I returned from that trip to Florida. Once I was away from the situation to kind of gain some clarity, I came back and I called her just to really talk it out. And then she told me what my options were in terms of, you know, filing a protection order and how to go about that. And I hemmed and hawed about that. I almost didn't go through with that, but, you know, this person was harassing me, so I had to take that step. But she was there every step of the way.
When I was in the newspaper business, we've published columns from Jill and others from Response, and I just think they fall flat when you compare it to something like this.
Yeah, I would say we've published, dozens of columns, letters to the editor, news articles covering this topic. I mean, I've written plenty myself. And I feel like with both of these pieces, the difference is, one, the firsthand experience and the sharing of a personal story. I think, obviously, that's putting a face to the news right there. But as well as that, I think both of these amazing women took the opportunity as writers to not just share their experience and be emotional about that experience, but to actually empower others. I think the underlying thread in both of these stories is how it affected you and how it's probably affecting others and what people can do if they're in that situation. And I found that to be really the most powerful part, because it wasn't just response saying, we're here for you, we can mm-hmm. help, which is great. Yeah. Or it wasn't just another news article about something that happened to a woman somewhere else. Right. It was people who have been through it saying their experience and offering advice. And I felt like that was really amazing to read.
Well, you put a face and a voice and personality on a statistic. I mean, that's so strong. And again, to be able to say that in your own words, I don't think I could do that. I mean, I have not lived through an experience like this. I can't say. But, I mean, that's peeling back the onion to the absolute layer. Mm-hmm.
You are listening to Valley Roundup, a look at the week's news with writers and editors in the Valley. We continue our conversation about female columnists writing about their experiences of being abused. Joining me are Aspen Daily News columnist Beth Brandon, her editor Madeline Osberger, and Amanda Ray, columnist for the Aspen Times, and her editor Jeannie McGovern.
Well, it's funny you said something earlier about, you know, I do stand-up comedy, so people automatically think they know me because of that, too. It's funny the amount of men who will come up to me and tell me, like, really misogynistic jokes, like, this is a good one. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's cute. but, you know, it's just a different, obviously, facet of who I am and sharing that. And, you know, I've thought about, wouldn't it be great if I could go into schools and do some kind of program, like, partnered with Response? Like, I thought, high school students, not girls, but now, like, I've talked to friends who are teachers, and it's like, let's talk to, like, eighth graders, boys and girls. Like, that talk we had when, like, girls went to one room and boys went to the other. Like, girls, you're going to go through this change. Like, how about we all sit down? I mean, because I've always thought that would be such a great thing, and somebody like me is not their teacher. You know, I'm a younger face that, you know, I've done Aspen Community Theater, and I always thought, oh, I should jump in while I know some students or something, you know, so that it's something that really, I don't know, it has such an impact when you know the person and you can talk about it on a real one-on-one level. And so I've wanted to do that for a long time, but that just is really hard because it also is an amount of energy to go speak publicly, yada, yada. But this I thought was a really, again, I read Wendell's column and then reading Amanda's column was sort of the fire under my butt to go write it myself. And it felt good because I feel like I got, as I will agree with Amanda, I got a lot of really great response, a lot of, you know, major high fives, so to speak, and a little shout out and a letter to the editor with somebody who doesn't even know me. So
Did Response reach out to you as well?
Yes. Jill sent me a text and was like, you know, that was empowering. I have a counselor. I worked with Advocate Safe House Project when I first moved here. So my counselor, who's a therapist, I sent a draft to her and was like, I just want to make sure there aren't any glaring, like, statistics or anything like that that's wrong. So if you could give it a quick once over. And she gave me the thumbs up. And
how long did it take you guys to write these?
I mean, the first session, which was probably the bulk of it for me, was, you know, my morning writing, which is like 20, 30 minutes. And then I came back to it probably another maybe hour tops just to shape it. I mean, I'm thinking all, you know, I bite it in bits and pieces, but hour and a half.
Well, you had 15 years to process, too.
Yeah, and that's the other, I mean, again, I want to point that out. Like, that's huge because of the processing and the distance that I have from it. I wasn't feeling sort of the fresh pain from the incident, more of championing after the fact and telling people, like, you know, have to walk around like the scarlet letter of the shame that something happened to you. I mean, I just feel like I said in the paper, you read about it so often. It's like this alleged victim, and we all just think of her as, like, I feel like it's walking around with a cloud over your head, but there's, like, a huge life, and I have a handful of friends who have said, this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Right.
Same thing.
And I really liked, Beth, what you said in your piece about using that word alleged, which indicates that maybe what this person is saying did not actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like I've worked with and heard men make comments, you know, when it was the Kobe Bryant, that one hit me really hard. And at the time that it happened, it was all about how she was getting money. And I mean, that was practically everything any man said. I mean, I don't want to say all, but it's tough. I'm like, wow, she's going to put herself out there and go through the ringer for some cash. Yeah, that's more believable.
Right. I mean, and that's newspaper policy, right, is we use alleged because we have to make sure that the person who's being accused of it is before they're convicted. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether or not they are innocent or guilty. But it does feel strange when you know that there really is a victim here. Especially, I think, as a woman editor, it's been hard for me to actually print that word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Even though you've got to stay objective on it.
Well, I do think that we women editors do look at the news just slightly different. I mean, when I worked with Mary Hayes at the Aspen Times, she always felt it was so necessary to have an equal balance of men and women in the newsroom. Just because of how we, same thing with photographers, too. You know, I work with Jordan Cure, excellent photographer.
Who's a woman, by the
way. Who is a woman, yes. And she she shoots photos that are not sexist in the least bit. And they're just very straightforward. And, you know, not that men shoot with that in mind, but sometimes there is it can come through.
Any thoughts on that, Jeannie?
I agree that a balance in the newsroom is good. Maybe, I don't know about the photography thing so much in my experience, because I've worked with some great male photographers.
Oh, as well. But and I'm not bashing men for that.
I think it's just for as much as it's just for the newsroom chatter and the newsroom banter, and when you're debating a story or debating an issue, to get both perspectives is always interesting. I mean, I think we have pretty progressive men in this valley, and generally we all think similarly. But there's times when a woman's perspective, I think, is pretty important to the news, and especially when it comes to columns and opinion writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the news is the news, and we really should be doing our job correctly and shouldn't be having those discussions.
We might be having different questions being asked.
Yes. Certainly. The reporter might be asking different questions based on where they come from. But I definitely think when it comes to editing and assessing and deciding on opinion columns and feature columns like these two, having a woman and a man's perspective is really important, because I do wonder what male editors might have read in these pieces and how uncomfortable it might have made them. Mm-hmm. Not that anyone that we work with would have stopped them from being published, obviously.
No.
But I think their reactions might have been different than Madeline and mine, because it sounds like ours were both very similar. Emotional, yes, but also take a step back as an editor and say, why are we publishing this? Is this just allowing information to spew out there? Is this serving a real purpose for our readers? Because we're not really in the business of letting columnists get a cathartic experience through our pages. Unfortunately, you know, that's just not the point of a columnist. We wouldn't be credible papers if we did that. But the idea that this is actually helping readers, that's what gives its credibility.
Right.
So,
And I think that's the approach that you both took. Like, we're doing this to empower others. And, and with your column, Beth, I mean, what I got out of it was I'm a completely different person as a result of this. I mean, a better person.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I'm a survivor, and I'm living the dream.
Pretty much. Well, that's nice. I'm running circles around my former self.
I love that.
Right.
That's
great.
That's a great line.
And again, I don't want to get into too many details, but when I first moved here, that happened. It had sort of, there was a previous college experience. So getting help and going to Advocate Safe House was huge, and I had this moment in front of me going, I just moved to Colorado. I could go back, but I don't want to. Don't make me, you know? So it was just so huge, and I have such ownership over my life here and everything that I feel really like that I've created, you know? And I wanted people to know that, because, again, I have a handful of friends who've gone through, and some who haven't sought help in the same way. And it's not to say that they aren't wonderful, amazing people, but I just know what it's done for me in that, you know, I faced some stuff and then we went ahead and faced some more, and I just dealt with and got better coping skills for life, I think. That's what it comes down to.
I think some of the best pieces I've written, I haven't really thought too much about it. I just go and do it, you know. And it sounds like that's what the case was with both of your leading up to the column. Was okay. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not going to think too much about it. Although you probably thought about it a lot over the years, but once she set the path, it was okay for you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and it just, like you said, you just wrote it and it came out and that's that. Because you could sit, like Amanda in 10 years can write a completely different piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'll have many different phases of how you look at it and deal with it and all of that. So that's also an interesting perspective too.
Did you even realize the impact that you would have? Or was it more coming from a personal experience for you?
Not really, because it was, I mean, selfishly motivated. It made me feel better, you know, like.
Right.
So it was a cathartic mm-hmm. experience.
I mean, well, I know. Yeah.
It was cathartic.
But it was good writing as well.
But
right.
I knew in the back of my mind also that I had wanted to do something like this to help and empower right. and educate. But just selfishly in that moment, writing it was like, whew, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Beth, but when I write my columns, I almost don't even realize that anyone's going to read them, and I, which is probably a good thing.
So,
I never write a column thinking, oh, people are going to be reading this and affected by it. You know, that's really the last thing on my mind.
Absolutely. Was there any conversation in the newsrooms after these were published, in both of your newsrooms, especially with the guys? Like, did Curtis have anything to say about that, or was it?
I think Curtis thought it was a great column, and he's a pretty evolved man, I have to say.
He told me so.
Yeah.
He said, great job. Bravo.
Yeah.
You know,
he did. And I said, I don't think there are any regrets or anything. No, not at all. Not in the least bit.
How about your newsroom?
A huge amount of feedback. I think, Amanda, I sent you several of them. There were a lot more than that. Pretty much everyone in our newsroom reacted strongly. All positive. Pretty amazed. Several people were just proud to work in this business where we can publish something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
emails, and this wasn't
wow.
just sucking up to the bosses. This was honest people in our newsroom and on the advertising side saying, I'm really proud to work in this business because we can share stories like this. And that made me really, you know, honored to be able to publish something like this. I think, yeah, everyone was really amazed.
I was just going to piggyback on, you know, the response. I think even maybe 5 years ago, I might not have felt the same way, but I work with mostly men and, you know, good friends as well. But walking into work and eye-to-eye contact with my, I put air quotes, boss, but he's a very good friend of mine, and, like, great column. I could look back in his eyes, and there wasn't, like, I didn't feel shame. I mean, there was a moment after I turned it in, before it got printed, like, oh, God. Will I regret this? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I just don't think about it, you know, like, because you did it and it felt good. And then I had such a great response that, like you said, I can really connect with people, men and women. And that's what it's about. I mean, back to the women perspective, we're 50% of the population. Why shouldn't it be balanced all the time? So that's very important.
I agree with you 100%, 110% there.
Yeah. I want to even ask my husband. I was like, is there any part of you that would feel weird if I wrote this? And he was like, absolutely not.
You married the right man.
Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
to put this level of personal experience on the paper is laudable.
Well, thank you for doing this and talking about it and writing those columns. It was great.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of Valley Roundup. Thanks to Madeline Osberger, contributing editor of the Aspen Daily News, Beth Brandon, columnist for the Aspen Daily News, and Amanda Ray, columnist for the Aspen Times, and her editor, Jeannie McGovern. You can get a rundown of links and more information on the columns covered on this show on our website, aspenpublicradio.org. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen. Valley Roundup is a production of Aspen Public Radio News.